This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Hello. How are you? It has been too long since we have seen each other. Gosh darn it. It is so good to see you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Chewing the Fat. I appreciate it. And, well, you listening to the show should appreciate it as well. So yesterday, we talked a little bit about bird flu jumping to humans. Huh, that's strange, especially when they said the risk of infection for humans is low. Well, then we find out that the largest fresh egg producer in the United States, Cal-Maine Foods, Inc., and if you were to ask, who do you think is the largest egg producer in the U.S.? Cal-Maine Foods Incorporated rolls right off the tongue. They have temporarily halted production at a plant in the Texas Panhandle due to an outbreak of a bird flu. And they killed about 1.6 million laying hens and 337,000 pullets. And for those of you that, you know, are unfamiliar with pullets, those are young adolescent hens. So now we can just add to that 82 million that we talked about yesterday that have been killed since 2022. And don't forget about the dairy cows that have tested positive for bird flu in several states around the country. And also remember that we have two people in the United States now that have tested positive for bird flu. But despite all that, you look tremendous today, and don't let anyone tell you different. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. I think I'm a fan of the Botswana president, Mogweetsi. Mogweetsi. Mogweetsi Masisi. Masisi. He's the president of Botswana. And I apologize if I've pronounced your name wrong, Mr. President. He has now offered to send 20,000 elephants to Germany because the European country's environment ministry called for limiting imports on hunted trophies. So he's pissed. And he's saying, no, that's going to hurt our economy here in my nation of Botswana. We have been overrun by exploding elephant population as a result of conservation efforts. Herds of the massive animals have been destroying crops, causing property damage, and trampling people. I mean, last year, an elephant herd trampled a Botswana soldier to death. Okay, now I want to stop there for a moment. You're a Botswana soldier. Now, I know an overwhelming force, you're done, right? But you kind of figure, look, are those elephants coming at me? I'm a soldier. Do they not arm the Botswana soldiers? I mean, doesn't he at least say, hold up, Mr. Elephant? At least gets a shot off? Try to move the herd in another direction? I mean, he's got to have more than... I realize that you're not bringing down an elephant with just... Yeah, the elephant might laugh at you and keep coming. But, on the other hand, the elephant, the herd at least, might hear... And go the other direction. So he got trampled. And I'm very sorry that the Botswana soldier was trampled to death. So anyway, hunting, according to the Mr. President of Botswana, helps keep their numbers in check and provides critical sources of income for some residents. Germans should live together with animals in the way you are trying to tell us to. Amen. So he's ready. He's saying that more than 130,000 elephants roam Botswana. That's a third of the world's elephant population. So I wonder if, you know, there's a taxidermy joint outside of Houston called Conroe Taxidermy. And they do a lot of work, and they do, you know, work from all over the country. I had an uncle. Well, I mean, if we want to get technical about it, he was actually my second cousin. But he was my mom's age, so he was my mom's cousin, so I always called him uncle. Anyway, he was a big world hunter and a big game hunter. And he had, a you know, just a massive room of all these stuffed animals. Stuffed animals. They were just stuffed animals. They weren't real animals. They were just stuffed. And that's what Conroe Taxidermy does outside of Houston down there. That's, they just stuff animals for people. That's all they do. I wonder, I mean, business got to be booming in Botswana. I mean, he's had to have been to Botswana. I got to talk to my man down there at Conroe Taxidermy. But anyway, in 2014, Botswana thought they would play along, and they banned trophy hunting. And then in 2019, they decided, you know what? There's too damn many elephants roaming around here. We need to get the hunting quotas up and bring in some people to kill these things. And we need to up the old elephant trophy business. And that's what they did. So now France, Belgium, Australia, and many other countries are banning hunting trophy trade. So I guess you can go out and hunt, right? If I'm living in those countries, I guess I could go to Botswana and go through the brush and then a few times and drop one and then send it back here to the U.S. to Conroe Taxidermy, and they'll stuff it and I'll have a stuffed elephant, but I won't be able to get it into my country. So they're going to have to sneak it into my country? Okay. And that's going to be tough since, you know, the ports are shut down. I'm going to be able to sneak in a stuffed elephant when the Baltimore port is down. So Botswana is like, hey, I tell you what, we'll send you 20,000 elephants and you can see what it's like to have elephants roaming around and stomping out your military men. How about that, Germany? How about you just shut your mouth about what we're doing over here in Botswana, okay? That is awesome. You know, speaking of the Baltimore Bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, or just the Key Bridge, I wouldn't want to give credit to Francis Scott Key. That guy. My gosh. Anyway, cleanup has started already, which, I mean, they've moved tons of debris out of the river already, which is fantastic. I would hope, I mean, these engineers are starting to cut and lift the steel wreckage from the bridge, and there's live streams of the cleanup happening. I would hope that it's a two-pronged effect. Now, I've not been in these meetings. I mean, obviously, it should be more than two-pronged effect, but, you know, we should be also moving in to start building. Like, I mean, we're getting rid of all the debris and finally getting to the bodies that are still underwater and have not been rescued, we need to, you know, do that as soon as we can, obviously. But we need to start, say, on the other side of where this main wreckage, you know, I hope we're cleaning up one side first, not just Higgly Piggly picking up the middle of the river, because let's go ahead and pick up some rubble over here and then start building the new bridge. So that as we are picking up all the debris, we're also building a new bridge. I know it's a look, I am not a bridge builder. I am not a government official. I'm not a harbor master, any of that. I just, you know, pretend to be one. But I would like to, you know, maybe have that happening. I don't, call me crazy. That would just be something that I would be doing. And I also see now where the owner and manager of the cargo ship that rammed into the bridge, filed a court petition seeking to limit their legal liability. Huh. So apparently this is what they do. It's every day. So companies' limit of liability petition is a routine but important procedure for cases litigated under the U.S. maritime law. So a federal court in Maryland ultimately decides who's responsible and how much they owe for what could become one of the costliest catastrophes of its kind. They're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. And whenever you start reaching numbers like, well, you know, originally we told you $400 million, and now we're up to $800 million, it's going to be over $1 billion for sure. So the joint filing between Singapore-based Grace Ocean Private Limited, which owns the Dolly, which is, you know, the ship that hit the brunch, and Synergy Marine Point Limited, also based in Singapore, is the ship's manager. Have we even heard from the captain yet? I don't really. Anyway, just a side note. So the joint filing seeks to cap the company's liability at roughly $43.6 million. Ha! That's got it. There's no way. Let's see. The vessel itself is valued at $90 million and was owed over $1.1 million of income from the freight. The estimate also deducts two major expenses, at least $28 million in repair costs and at least $19.9 million in salvage costs. Because this is just for the ship. This is, has nothing to do with the bridge. So this is, if you're not familiar, and you know, I know many of you aren't, the companies file under a pre-Civil War provision of the 1851 Maritime Law that allows them to seek to limit their liability of the value of the vessel's remains after the casualty. Yeah, so this is all about the ship. They're going to be nailed for some of this bridge cost, too. But it's all an ongoing nightmare. And I just hope that we are actually working with the experts to salvage and build at the same time so that it doesn't take, I don't know, 10 years like they said. Let's get this thing, let's have it so that when we're done getting all the wreckage out and we can open up the river again so that the port can actually be open at least somewhat again, at least get rid of the ships that are in there and limit the ships that come in because of, you know, we got to mess with the delivery system out of the port for vehicles, not ships. But at the same time, we need to be building the new bridge. Let's go. Let's get going. People, 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 we have a bridge to build. And this, I hope, is exactly the reason why President Joe Biden and I, I don't want to get into him, but I just will say that I think he was actually right when he said, hey, we're going to pay for it. And the, you know, the press was like, what about the insurance companies? Whack! And what about the companies that own the ship? Whack! And Joe's like, the president, Joe Biden, is like, I want to get it started before all that. And then we'll cover it. We'll get to all that. But right now, let's get to work. I agree with him this one time. And I don't know if it's him speaking, but he's right. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. Wouldn't it be great if any time you need a medication in a hurry, you just go and get it from the pharmacy? That's a cute little thought. Unfortunately, the vast majority of medicine we take in the United States is manufactured in China. So when drug shortages appear, as they so often do, they're the ones handling it, not us. Now, of course you want the ability to take care of your family's health, no matter what the situation. Well, that is why you need the Jace case. It's a personalized emergency kit. It contains 5 essential antibiotics that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections, and Jace is continually working to expand their medication offerings. They've even added ivermectin as an option in the Jace case. Plus, you can buy a gift card for your family or loved ones so that they can get a Jace case of their own and personalize it to their needs. Everyone should be empowered to care for themselves and their loved ones during the unexpected. Get yours today. Go to jacemedical.com. Enter the code Jeffy at checkout. Get a discount on your order. Jacemedical.com. JASEmedical.com. Jacemedical.com. When you go there, don't forget, enter that offer code Jeffy to get the discount at the end of your order. I know. Look, you're welcome. JASEmedical.com. All right, we mentioned earlier, one of the shows I've done in the past 800,000 years, is that the Tropicana in Las Vegas was going to close. Well, yesterday, it closed. If you're listening live, today is the 3rd of April, 2024, and the Tropicana closed yesterday, which was the 2nd of April, 2024, just a couple of days short of its 67th anniversary. And there was a couple things as I was reading about, just aside from the headlines of the Tropicana closing. I mean, at one point it was the jewel of the strip and, you know, it was one of the great resorts in Vegas. And then we have the, you know, mega resorts now. The demolition for it is going to be sometime in October. That's what they're shooting for. That'll be fun to watch. I love watching them implode buildings, but they're making way for the new Major League Baseball stadium. There's about 9 acres there that are set to go to the it's not the Oakland A's anymore. I guess it's just the Athletics. We don't know. We're not calling them the Oakland A's anymore, and we can't call them the Las Vegas A's yet because they're not in Vegas, and they're going to play at some high school stadium in Northern California until they get a stadium deal. I don't know what's happening. So it's just the Athletics. Anyway, that stadium is going to be built now. As I said, it was the place to be in Vegas when it opened. And of course it was one of the ones that we knew had ties to the mob, right? I mean, all the others we just assumed, and the mob had pretty, you know, ties and they kept quiet. But the big mobster Frank Costello, who was shot in New York City, had a piece of paper in his pocket when he was shot and killed that showed the gross win figures from the Tropicana's casino, which meant that he was part of the little skimming operation going on from the old Tropicana. Now, it was built back in 1957, and it cost a whopping $15 million. Jewel of the Strip in Las Vegas, $15 million. Incredible. I'm sorry, did I say Jewel of the Strip? It was promoted as the Tiffany of the Strip, okay, in reference to the jeweler Tiffany's, okay, and it was a 300-room property considered a luxurious retreat. So it just sold to Bally's back in 2022 for $148 million. I mean, that seems like nothing, really, but you know, whatever. Rest in peace to the Tropicana. Now I see, and I got to thinking, well, what did they do with all the stuff? Like, do I get to get like one of the pictures painted, you know, that were hanging in room 202 or something like that? Well, they had the big liquidation sale, and it's, I think it's still ongoing. So it had 1,800 guest rooms and suites. You know, I was thinking that's a good deal. If you could paint a piece of artwork and then just print it up and have them buy your piece of art, and your artwork would be the one hanging in each toilet at the truck. At every Holiday Inn across America. Anyway, they had 1,500 flat screen TVs. Incredible. I mean, I'd like to get some of this. That'd be cool. They had a banquet, a conference center, a bakery, a buffet, restaurant, kitchen, a banquet kitchen, commercial theater seating, thousands of stack chairs, thousands of banquet tables, crystal chandeliers, thousands of sheets, pillows, and comforters. I don't know if I want any of those. I don't know if I want any of the sheets, pillows, and comforters from the hotel, but, you know, appreciate it. Keep them over there. They had architects with the fixtures, the gaming stools, the pool and patio furnishings, china and glassware, bathroom linens. I don't know if I want any of those either. But, you know, I guess you wash them in hot water, a little bit of bleach, maybe some baking soda, you'll be fine. Get a little bit of that. Ugh. Off of them, and you should be fine. But I want some of that. Hello, Tropicana. Call me. Email me. Chewing the Fat at theblaze.com. Let's work out a deal. Like, I'll take, give me like a couple hundred of the flat screen TVs. I'd like to have maybe, I need some pool furniture. I need some outdoor furniture. I don't have a pool at this house that I'm living in now, but I still need the furniture. And, because it's patio furnishings. Hello. And I'd like to have some gaming stools. There's nothing like, why do you have 25 stools lined up along your wall? I got it from the Tropicana. Those belong to the Tropicana. Sit there. You don't know who sat on those. That's good stuff right there. If you're not going to reach out to me through email, Tropicana, chewingthefatattheblaze.com, you can reach out to me on X, at Jeffy JFR. You can reach out to me on my Facebook or Instagram, Jeff Fisher Radio. What the heck? You can reach out on my YouTube channel too, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. If you want, what I'd like to do is maybe do a cameo for you over there at the Tropicana as you're liquidating all your furniture and your bar stools. I'm sorry, your gaming stools. And you could order a cameo from me at Jeffy JFR on Cameo. And then we can, we can just communicate over Cameo. So just, look, I know it's not free and you guys are liquidating everything, but I'll do a trade. Just reach out to me on Cameo at Jeffy JFR. And, I realize that, you have to, pay Cameo and then I do the bit, but we can work it out where you can put in the message, hey, I have to pay Cameo for you to do the Cameo hit. But after that, maybe we can do some more where we trade, some gaming stools. So you can reach out to me that way as well, Tropicana. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. Anything I can do for you, I'm here. Oh, tonight's the night too. Tonight is the night. Powerball. $1.09 billion. No, $1.09 billion. Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. $1.09 billion. $527.3 million cash payout. You could become a billionaire tonight by winning the Powerball. Nice. Who died today? Who died today? Well, we have Lee Siegfried, known as Crazy Cabby to the Howard Stern Show fans. He has passed away, according to multiple reports. So it might be just a bit. We don't know. He was 55, and no cause of death has been revealed. Now, this is a way to get Howard Stern in the news. I will say this because every headline I see is Howard Stern, radio personality, regular, dies at 55. Oh, okay. So it leads you to think maybe perhaps Howard Stern died, or it's a big story about Howard Stern. But no, it's about the death of one of his show contributors, the Crazy Cabby, who was 55. So, and he hasn't even appeared on the show since 2021. So, anyway, Lee Siegfried, or Crazy Cabby, dead at the age of 55. Also, did you see where Lauren Boebert, B-O-E-B-E-E-R-T, congresswoman from Colorado, hospitalized, underwent surgery for blood clot? Huh. Well, that's kind of weird. She was taken to a Colorado hospital after experiencing severe swelling in one of her legs on Monday. Her campaign team said, hey, doctors found a blood clot, and the congresswoman was diagnosed with May-Thurner syndrome. Yeah, man, how many times have you heard May-Thurner syndrome? For those of you that are saying to yourself, May-Thurner syndrome is a thing? Yeah, it is, okay? It's also known as the iliac vein compression syndrome. It's a condition in which compression of the common venous outflow tract of the left lower extremity may cause discomfort and swelling. So why don't you shut up, okay? It's the May-Thurner syndrome. Okay, is it? Is it that? All right. I mean, she's thanked everyone who took care of it and providing helpful insight on her recent diagnosis. Yeah, the May-Thurner syndrome. You don't want none of that. Now, I will say, you don't want blood clots rolling around in your body. Those are suboptimal. Blood clots rolling around in your body. So it's good that we got that taken care of. Now, we don't know what caused it. Well, it's a syndrome, Jeff. It's the May-Thurner syndrome. I know, but what caused Lauren getting the May-Thurner syndrome? We don't know. We don't know that. And it couldn't be that, because they would have said that. Am I right? Because they went on to say that it's unclear what caused the clot. I know, that's what I was just saying. But the campaign noted that dehydration, travel, and extended periods of sitting have all been identified as potential factors in causing symptoms of May-Thurner syndrome. So it definitely wasn't that. It was either, well, she didn't drink enough, she was traveling too much, and she was sitting for extended periods of time. So, I mean, anyone could get May-Thurner syndrome. Because, I mean, maybe even if what if you don't travel, but you're dehydrated and you sit for extended periods of time? I think that's what I have. I have May-Thurner syndrome. Yeah, I do. So I got to stop. I mean, I'm not laughing about Lauren Boebert getting May-Thurner syndrome because it's not a funny. It's not funny. And I have all the symptoms. I sit a lot. Well, I'm not really dehydrated because I drink a lot. I don't really travel a lot, but I have all the symptoms. And of course, we just got the news that the Iowa LSU game, women's basketball, college women's basketball, set records for viewership. 12.3 million viewers for Monday night's game. Again, I ask the question, what doofus from NCAA women's basketball puts the two teams that were in the national championship last year that set records, viewing records? Who was the dupe? And I was going to call him a different name, so I got to relax here for a second. Who was the dummy? The doofus. There you go. Those are acceptable words. I guess they're acceptable. That decided, well, you know what? We'll put those two teams in the same bracket. And they can play each other before the championship game, you know, if they happen to get through and win them all. Well, of course they would. But they ended up winning all their games until this game Monday night, which isn't even the fun, which put them into the winner. The winner goes into the Final Four. It's just silly. Now, I know it's Caitlin Clark's year, and maybe you're thinking, like I said, maybe you're thinking, hey, Caitlin's the draw, and we, you know, if she wins, then, you know, the viewership is in. And I don't disagree with that. Caitlin is the draw. The only thing left for her to win, she's setting all these records, is the national championship, which she didn't win last year because they lost to LSU. I just, incredible that we had, so the game that, you know, the national championship matchup in an Elite Eight game to go to the Final Four sets the records. I don't understand the thinking behind that, but that's what they did. So now it's going to, now not only does Caitlin have the weight of Iowa on her shoulders to win the national championship, she has the weight of television on her shoulders to bring in the numbers without the help of playing her dreaded nemesis, the LSU Tigers. And she put them down hard. She put them down hard on Monday night, man. She looked awesome. So anyway, just, I don't understand the thinking, and I may get over it, but whenever I start thinking about it, I don't. It just drives me crazy. And I guess, you know, I guess they play UConn Friday night, April 5th at 8:30. I guess that's probably Central Time, since I'm looking at it in my computer, so that's probably Central Time, so 9:30 Eastern. In the Final Four. So that'll be a great game. But, you know, and I know UConn's been great. They're the number three seed overall. Their women's basketball has been great. So is their men. Their men's are in the Final Four as well. I mean, it's a big year for UConn. Sorry about it, UConn. You're going down, though, because it's Caitlin's year. So nobody cares about the other teams. Okay, they just don't. They just don't. It's the Caitlin Clark year. And if she goes down, she loses, goodbye to ratings, because everyone's just going to go, okay, have a nice day, it's over. And, you know, obviously the schools that are in it are going to watch. What do you got? North Carolina State, UConn, and what's that, the women's Final Four? Yeah, and South Carolina, and then UConn and Iowa. And there's everybody, you know, they're fine. They're great teams. They've got great players. Who cares? It's not Caitlin Clark. It's her. Caitlin Clark is, I mean, she's the sports icon now of the world, right? I mean, she's the, you know, she's still in college, so I get that, you know, people making comparisons with people who have been professionals and superstars over the years that have done so much. That's a tough comparison. But with the sports world rallying around Caitlin Clark, I mean, it's her world, and we're just living in it. So if she doesn't, it would almost make you believe that the NCAA will just make sure that Caitlin Clark wins the national championship, doesn't it? It does make one think that calls, whether for or against, may help Caitlin's cause in hoisting that national championship trophy, because anything short of that is nothing, right? I mean, she's already accomplished everything except that. She has to have the national championship. She has to. And the NCAA, while they may have been dumb in the bracket listings, you'd hope that they were smart enough to realize, hey, maybe you not blow the whistle here. Or maybe you do blow the whistle here. Anything that helps Caitlin win, okay? Don't make it look obvious, but Caitlin can't lose. And so you just watch the games. I'm not saying it's going to happen. My gosh, it would be terrible if something like that goes on. Terrible. But, you know, it does. Oh, yeah. And I mentioned that UConn and the men's were in the Final Four, too. You got Purdue, North Carolina State, UConn, and Alabama. Nobody cares. We care about Caitlin. So I know you guys are great. And, you know, I appreciate you guys are all talented. You're wonderful. We love watching you play for the most part. But just know, and I think you already do, you're not Caitlin. All right, so I've had this story for a while, and I haven't just never got to it because I'm like, it's just another story about libraries and not charging for old returns. And, you know, it's another story about a pair of books 100 years overdue. I returned to a Kentucky library, and look, nobody's in trouble. It's fine. Louisville Free Public Library noted that the family could have incurred about $7,800 in fines with inflation and everything, but the library just became fine free. And sure, it wasn't that way when they didn't return it, but it's fine. And it's just, they finally returned a pair of borrowed books, and we just love it. It's just funny, isn't it? It's just funny. They forgot to bring it back 100 years ago, and now they're finally bringing it back. They found it. It was in a box somewhere. We just found it. Well, then I see a story out of Texas where a mom can't get her driver's license renewed because there's a warrant out for her arrest. Wonder why she has a warrant out for her arrest over an unreturned library book. But nobody's in trouble. Oh, wait. She is. So she had to go before a judge because she had a warrant out for her arrest because of this late library book, okay? She thought it was she didn't realize, all right? Now she goes before the judge. She was charged with theft of government property. She had to drive to another court hours away from her home to face her judge, and the judge completely unsympathetic. Over a library book? I would be so pissed. I mean, I'm sure she didn't have an attorney because she probably thought it's a library book. They're making me go before the judge. I'll tell the judge, look, I'm sorry. I was pregnant at the time. I had complications. I also went through a move to a new residence. So I didn't get the notices of the late book. And I, you know, sorry. I know, you know, I'm sorry about it. The judge is like, so? Wait, what? Yeah, she told me to stop making excuses and I needed to take responsibility. It's my responsibility to update the library with my change of address because we moved. Yeah, that's when I didn't had been able to go to the library. I didn't have change my library card ID on my list of things to do after my child was born. I mean, that is unbelievable. That is unbelievable. Now, also, she told the judge that her husband had tried to return the book, but that it did not fit into the drop-off box, and he could not go inside because the library was closed. So then after they returned the book, okay, so that's kind of an excuse. That's kind of funky there. I might have been on the judge's side there. Hubby tried to squeeze it in the library. I just leave it on top, bro. Just leave it on top and call. Hey, I left a book on top. How about you? How about you go check and make sure you got that? And if it gets stolen, I mean, you film yourself returning it, right? It won't fit in the box. You film yourself returning it, you're good to go. I mean, I just cannot believe that. So she offered to pay for the book, and the judge said they were long past that point. What kind of judges do we have in the state of Texas? That is unbelievable. That, oh, we are way long past that point. Really? For a library book? Okay. So now I don't know, do we send her to prison? Do we make her go to prison for a late returning library book? I hope so. I hope so, because that's what needs to happen to this woman, okay, for forgetting to return a library book. I mean, just keep it. But you can't anymore, right? So in Kentucky, 100 years ago, they didn't have records, and apparently, so it's okay to keep it for 100 years. In Texas, if you have an overdue library book, you can't get your driver's license? Come on now. Come on. It is so nice of United Airlines to be offering pilots unpaid time off. That is so nice of them. Now, it's only through May. Well, maybe it might be through the whole summer. The airline pilots union said, yeah, well, you know what? There's Boeing deliveries that have been delayed. Yeah, no kidding. So, look, United's CEO is among airline leaders who have expressed frustration at Boeing. So it's all Boeing's fault. I mean, it is Boeing's fault. It's not United's mechanics' fault. It's not any company's mechanics' fault at all. It is all Boeing. It's not the subcontract companies that have put things together and are supposed to investigate. It's not the FAA after it's built from Boeing to check things out. It is all Boeing's fault, okay? Let's be clear about that. It's Boeing, no matter what happens in the world now, it is your fault, okay? That's it. It's your fault. So I just find it's really nice that United is, because it's Boeing's fault, is offering their pilots unpaid time off. Well, through May. Well, maybe on the whole summer. Well, you just don't know. You just don't know how long. But they're, you know, look, just take it off because we're not paying you, okay? We'll just pretend that it's unpaid leave because you either do that or we say you're fired and move on with your life. I see where there was another story. Where was it? Oh, the Alaska Airlines flight. Another Alaska Airlines flight. I'm sure this is Boeing's fault. Absolutely positive, as a matter of fact, that it's Boeing's fault. They had to turn around because a Boeing 737 jet, again, like I said, it's Boeing's fault. They were on its way from Hawaii to Alaska. Thank you for flying Boeing 737 MAX 9 out of Hawaii. We're on our way. should be in Alaska in 6 or 7 hours. We appreciate your time. Stewardess, excuse me, flight attendant, pilot. Yeah. There's a bunch of water leaking out of the bathroom and it's going everywhere. And I don't know if it was the actual nastiness of the toilet water. I don't think it was, because that would have been, we've seen videos and stuff of this plane, and I think it was just water from the bathroom. I don't think it was the nastiness of the toilet water, because we've seen that before too. That was Boeing's fault too. But we've seen that before too, and how, oh, that would just be nasty. I'd have to get out of there. So the flight from Honolulu to Anchorage, it departed about 10 p.m. Thank you for flying. Friday night flight on our way to Anchorage. And we're about 90 minutes in, and the pilot's like, hey, we got a little malfunction here. It's flooding in the aisle, whole aircraft, a bunch of water. I know a lot of you guys are sitting with your feet in water along here. So, hey, we're going to turn this thing around. We're not going to finish our flight to Anchorage. I know, gosh darn it, I was excited to get to Anchorage, but we're going to go ahead and turn this thing around. Flight attendants, if you could put some paper towels and blankets, towels or anything else that you can to soak up the water coming from the bathroom, that'd be great. Thank you. I'm going to get this thing turned around. I mean, there was like two or three inches of water on the floor in this plane. You got to turn that thing around, man. Because, I mean, you've seen what happens in houses when it floods like that, and the electricity and all the electrical circuits. You don't want none of that. You don't want that happening. Good for the pilot, man. Good for the pilot. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and turn this thing around. How about you don't turn any lights on and soak up as much water as you can. And we're going to go ahead and turn this thing around. No kidding, man. And one of the good things is, okay, so pilot turned it around. Got back. I mean, I'd be so angry. You're already an hour and a half into the flight. I mean, you're feeling like, all right, we're in the flight. Hour and a half in. You relax, seatbelts off. Is that water creeping up on my ankles from the floor? Where is that coming from? And it's just be like, what the hell is that? And it would not, I mean, just be. And then the good thing is, again, that it wasn't the nastiness of the toilet water. Oh, my gosh. But all of it, just remember, all right, as you go through your day today, whenever you listen to this particular show, it's Boeing's fault. All right. No one else's. We're going to go ahead and turn this thing around. And this is Boeing's fault. Thank you for flying United. Oh, this is Alaska Air. It's not United. United doesn't have any pilots. They don't even have any. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and, well, we don't have a pilot. So we're just going to sit here on the tarmac and wait for the summertime to be over when our pilots get off their unpaid leave.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.